All right, Jabot said, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Chaf Beis. We're picking up from the top of Chaf Beis, Tashma. So remember, again, we left off with the Yisodistik Machlokes yesterday. I'm not as much a Machlokes as much as it is a Chakira, because no one's really arguing. The Gemara is just trying to figure out what exactly are the mechanics of when a husband annuls his wife's vows. So remember, again, the Gemara floated two possibilities. Either megas gaias or me akar akar, meaning either, again, when a husband goes ahead and annuls his wife's vow, what he's essentially doing is he's cutting it off going forward, that at this point in time, again, it's annulled going forward, but it does not retroactively annul it. Or the second possibility is me akar akar, which literally means retroactive nullification of the vow. So the Gemara is trying to bring a number of different proofs, different ways. So far we have not been successful in being able to actually identify which of the two approaches are correct. So the Gemara therefore starts first daf on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph Tashma. Thank you, Bishmul. Ha'isha shenadra b'nazir v'nitmeis. If a woman made a neder, she became a nazira, and then she became tameyah. Va'achar kach hefer labayla. And then afterwards, her husband annulled the vow. So remember, the sequence of events is she makes the neder nazirus, then she becomes tameyah, and then afterwards, her husband annuls the vow. So what's the halacha? So mevia chata sa'ov ve'ina mevia ola sa'ov. She has to bring the chata's bird offering, but she does not bring the ola bird offering. So the Gemara says, sakadai tcha ba'al megas. Now, if it was true that all the husband did was cut off the vow going forward, but did not retroactively annul it, then she should have to bring the ola as well. The elamai, so rather, what must it be? May akar akar, it must be that what? That a husband retroactively annuls the vow, and asa, she doesn't have to bring the chatos. So the Gemara says, 1 second, if that's the case, that the vow is retroactively annulled, then what? Chatas ha'of nami lo tesi. So again, meaning the reason why this statement is a little bit strange is because the Gemara is saying that she has to bring the Ola Sa'ov, but doesn't bring the Chatas Sa'ov. So the Gemara wanted to bring a proof of the fact that she doesn't have to bring the Chatas is because when the husband annuls the vow, he retroactively annuls it, therefore it's as if it never happened, therefore no Chatas. But if that's the case, that it's retroactive nullification, then what? Then she shouldn't bring the Ola either. So why is she bringing the Ola? To which the Gemara says, no. The Ola is being brought for a separate reason, Bahamani. Whose opinion does this reflect that she brings the Ola Sa'ov? Rabbi Elazar HaKafar. This is reflecting the view of Rabbi Elazar HaKafar. This sign, I will say, we are familiar. Again, we've seen this quoted so many times. The sign, Rabbi Elazar HaKafar, Rabbi Omer, Ma Tam Lomer Ma'asher Chatal HaNefesh. What does it mean when it says that the Nazir has sinned regarding the Nefesh? V'chi be'ezo Nefesh Chatazah. What Nefesh, what soul did the Nazir sin regarding? Ela Mipnei Shetzir Atzlo Min Hayayin Nikrachote. Rather, it's since, again, the Nazir willingly abstained from wine, he's called a sinner. Because again, we spoke about this last week as well. We spoke about this a number of times, that because the Nazir is willingly abstaining from certain things, he's answering things to himself which should otherwise be permitted, that by definition is considered in the eyes of Elazar HaKafar to be sinful. Followed Dvarm Kavachomer, and this is a Kavachomer. What's the Kavachomer? If this one, i.e. the Nazir, who only abstained from wine, is called a Chote, Hamitzar Atzmo Mikol Davar Lachas Kama V'Kama, all the more so if a person goes ahead and willingly abstains from other things, meaning goes ahead and answers things that are otherwise permitted, of course it is called the Chote as well. So whilst it's therefore the Gemara suggests over here that Lamaisa, the reason she brings the Ola Sa'of is reflective of the fact that by undertaking a Ned and a Zeros, that by definition is sinful in nature. So therefore, Lemaisa, again, once again, this case does not really conclusively prove one way or another, that when the husband goes ahead and annuls his wife's vow, is that Megas Gaias? Does it cut it off going forward? Or is it Me'akar Akar? Does it retroactively uproot it? So the Gemara tries to bring another Braisa. Tashma, Disanya, Behedya, Yabosai. Now the Gemara says, well, we seem to have an explicit Braisa. What does the Braisa say? Ha'isha Shinadra Benazir, Vishama Chaverta, Va'amar Va'ani. So we'll say, listen to this case. So a woman makes a Nedir Nezirus, and her friend hears it, and she says, Va'ani. So again, Rachel says, Harini Nezira. Leah hears it, and Leah says, Me too. Uba baila sharushon vaheferla, and Rachel's husband comes along and annuls Rachel's vow. So what's the halacha? He muteres vechaverta asura. So Rachel is muteres. Muteres also means that again she no longer has a vow upon her. Vechaverta, but her friend Leah, who said vaani, is still asura. We'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here, Shmamina, Shmamina, Bal Megas Gaiz. What you see from here is what? Is that when a husband nullifies his wife's vow, he is not retroactively annulling it, rather what? He's cutting it off going forward. What's the Gemara's proof to that? The proof to that is that Leah, the friend's neder, still applies. Because also remember, again, if a husband went ahead and really was Megas Gaius, if a husband would uproot his wife's neder, then Lamaisa not only would Rachel's neder fall away, but what would happen? Leah's neder would fall away as well. The fact that Rachel's neder is permitted, but Leah's neder still remains in place, indicates to us that the neder is cut off going forward, but it does not retroactively annul it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shema Mina Ba Megas Gaius. So both say that's how the Gemara, that's how this sugya ends. So what happens? So again, so this is a raya to the idea that what? That when a husband goes ahead and annuls his wife's vow, he's going ahead and it's annulling it going forward, but does not retroactively uproot and annul the neder. Fine, says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Omer. So we'll say that brings to an end that particular sugya. Now the truth is, it's not really bringing it to an end. We're going to come back to it still and discuss it a little bit more. But for our purposes today, the Gemara is content with acknowledging that the dynamics of a husband's nullification of his wife's vow really means that he's cutting it off here going forward, but not retroactively annulling it. Fine, says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Im Amra La Hareni Kimoseich, Shtein Mutaras. We'll say, now the Gemara quotes another interesting statement. So let's say again, same thing. Rachel makes a neder, and she says, I am a Nazira. And then what happens? And Leah says, Hareini Kimoseich. Leah says, I'm like you. So what's Talacha? Shtehan Mutaros. They're both permitted. And we'll say, now what's the case over here? If you look at the Rush, so the Rush is in the left-hand margin. So it's the last Rush. He says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Amra Hareini Kimoseich, Shtehan Mutaros. Dechevan sha'amra ze halashon, daito imnispatel nizra, imnispatel nizra, shigam shalot yehei batos. Well, so the case over here is the following. Rachel says, I'm a nazira. Leah says, hareini kimoseich, I'm just like you. Then what happens? Rachel's husband goes ahead and annuls Rachel's vow. Rabbi Shimon suggests that in a case like that, Leah's vow is batal as well. What's the logic behind that? Because when she says Hareini Kimoseich, what she's saying is, whatever happens to you, happens to me. So if the husband annuls your vow and you are no longer a Nazira, so my vow is annulled with your vow as well. So the Gemara says, Amar Beis, Marzutra Brei Dravidi, Amar, so Marzutra Brei Dravidi says, Marzutra Brei Dravidi, Mari, Amar, Hai Nud Rabbi Marchama. This, in this case, is just like the case of Rabbi Marchama. Just like the case of Rabbi Bar Chama. Can't stand in the back. Just like the case of Rabbi Bar Chama. So we'll say, so what did Rabbi Bar Chama say? The boy Rabbi Bar Chama, because Rabbi Bar Chama asked the Kasha. We'll say, this is very interesting. Now remember, understand what the Gemara is suggesting over here is like this. So this case seems to be straightforward, except for one interesting issue. When Leah says to Rachel, Hareini Kimoseich, I'm just like you. So what does that statement actually mean? Does that statement mean that literally whatever happens to your neder happens to my neder? So meaning, Hareini Kimoseich, whatever occurs to you occurs to me. Or does Hareini Kimoseich just apply to that freeze frame? I'm just like you, meaning that I'm in a zero also. But after I latch on to your declaration, then what? Pretty much we go our separate paths. So that even if Rachel's husband decides to go ahead and annul her vow, Leah's vow will still apply. So Marzutra Brei Dravidi says, interestingly enough, we actually dealt with this question once before. This is the same issue of Rami Bar Chama. What did Rami Bar Chama ask? Well, so listen to this interesting shayla. Debay Rami Bar Chama, Harei Alai Kibasar Zevach Shlamin. Let's say, here's the case. I have a piece of meat, a regular steak, chulin steak. And I go ahead and I say, this steak should be just like sacrificial meat. Should be just like the meat of a shlamin. Okay. So they asked, so Rabbi Racham said, Mahu, what is the status of this chulin piece of meat? Because there are two ways you could look at this neder. Ki matfis inish, bikara matfis, o dilma bitzinona matfis, or bitzinona matfis. So here's the interesting question. Let's take a shlamin for just a moment. There are two different states of the shlamim. There's the shlamim prior to the zrikas adam, prior to the sprinkling of the blood, in which case the shlamim is considered to be sacrificial meat, and therefore, again, is sacrificial meat. It's hegdish. After the zrika, after the sprinkling of the blood, although it's still sacrificial meat, its status is what's the right word? It's not as much hekdish. That's a better word for this. Downgraded. Thank you. Thank you. It has a downgraded status. So the shayla over here is like this. When I go ahead and I have this piece of steak in front of me, it's a chulin piece of steak, and I want to say it should be like basar shlamim. So how? What stage of shlam are I comparing it to? Well, now there are two possibilities. The Gemara calls bi'kara, meaning do I compare it to the original state of the shlamim where it's totally prohibited, or do I compare it to the downgraded status of shlamim, in which case, again, it's a little bit more kal. Good. So therefore, I will say, so the shayla is like this. So take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Ki matvis inish bi karamatvis, ki dahav yon hani zivche shlam kodim zrika v'asira. Am I comparing it to the shlamim before the sprinkling of the blood? In which case, what I'm saying is that my steak is aser. Oh, dilma b'tzinin amatvis. So I will say, tzinin literally means cooled down state. So cooled down state means a downgraded state, Rashi says. Behetera de isbe vahinula achar zrika shahutter basar ba'achila v'sharia. Now, obviously, even after the sprinkling of the blood, the meat is still considered to be sacrificial meat, but obviously its status has been downgraded. So this is also the shayla. So Rabbos, I see here, what Rabbi Bar Chama, what Marzucha wants to suggest is that our question of when, let's say, Rachel says, I'm a Nazira, and Leah says, Harini kimoseich, I'm like you. So we want to know, so what does Leah mean? Does Leah mean, I'm like you forever, that our Nazir destinies are intertwined? So that Rachel, if your husband decides to go ahead and annul your vow, my vow is annulled as well? Or do we say no, that what Leah means when Jesus says, Harini kimoseich, is, I'm like you now, in this moment, and that I'm becoming a Nazira, but I don't mean to link my destiny, my Nazira destiny with you going forward. So Marzucha just suggests, this is the same kashrut Rabbi Bar Chama had. If I have a piece of meat and I say this piece of meat is like shlamim, so what do I mean? Do I mean like shlamim now? And therefore, again, meaning be'ikara matvis, that I'm comparing it to the shlamim in its original state, meaning it's hekdish, it's aser, or am I comparing it to the hekdish in the post-zrikas dam, the post-sprinkling of the blood state, in which case, again, that meat is essentially permitted? To which the Gemara says, mi dami. The Gemara says, no, you can't compare the two cases. Hasam kevan da amar hare alai kibazra zeva shlamim. Since a person says about the regular piece of steak that it should be like shlamim, it should be like sacrificial meat. Afal gav da la achash and izrak damo matzi achil le bechutz mikdash kaddish. So you both say, here's the chilik. When you say that your chulin piece of meat should be like kodesh, should be like sacrificial meat, it's true that even though after the sprinkling of the blood, the status of the shlamim is downgraded, but it's still what? It's still hekdesh. Meaning, I will say, you can't take shlamim meat back home with you to Tel Aviv and go ahead and eat it on your backyard or on your porch. That you can't do. So even though it's downgraded, right? Lamaisa, again, it's still kodesh. So it's clear when you go ahead and you say that this piece of chulin meat should be like shlamim meat, that literally what you are saying is what? That this piece of meat should be aser. It's clear what you're saying. However, again, aval hacha isag adait chabit sinin akamatis ha hefer labai la. So what I said, but again, in this case over here, if you want to say that lemaisa, when Leah says to Rachel, Harini kimoseich, I'm just like you, it doesn't make sense that Leah would be making a neder that would be subject to Rachel's husband's annulment. I was saying, just intuitively, that doesn't make sense. Because again, that's such a variable that she can't control. So lemaisa, when she says that I want to be an Harini kimoseich, what does she mean? She doesn't mean that I'm linking my destiny with you, the Olam Vo'ed. Rather, what is she saying? You're a Nazira? I'm becoming a Nazira, Shalom Ayisol. But after that, our paths split. So the Gemara says, Ika da Amri, others say, Harini Nazira, I'm sorry, Ika da Amri, Hainu Drai Bar Chama Vadai. So I'll say, others say that this case, in fact, is comparable to the case Drai Bar Chama in certainty. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Ika da Amri, Hainu Drai Bar Chama, Da Amar Afa Gav de la Achra Zvika Stama Mikdash Kaddish, Kevan de Matzi Achale Chuz de Choma Sazar, Bechala Ir, I amr pitzinin atafis vaday sharia lahachi bayi lacha vaday amrla. So both sides. So therefore, again, two different versions of this exchange. But lemaisa, what the Gemara suggests is, as much as the case of Rami Bar Chama. By the way, the way we paskin in the case of Rami Bar Chama is bi'ikara matvis. We assume that when someone makes an eder comparing one object to another, and the object that is the subject of the comparison, or I should say, the usher object has two different states. a primary state in which it's prohibited and a secondary state in which it's become permitted, we assume that a person is comparing the permitted object to the object in its primary state when it's prohibited. So, for example, in the case of the Hekdish, if I say this meat should be like Shlamim, the assumption is I'm comparing it to Shlamim at what point in time? Prior to Zrika, not after Zrika. So too, again, Lamaisa, the Rambam Paskins, that if Rachel becomes a Nazira, and Leah says, Hareini kimoseich, I am like you, what she means to say is what? What she means to say is, I'm like you now, in this moment, and that I'm becoming a Nazira. But should Rachel's husband subsequently go ahead and annul Rachel's vow, Leah's vow still remains in place. Vayter, Amra la, Hareini Nazira, Bikvayich mayu. Let's listen to this case. Let's say again, Rachel becomes a Nazira, and then afterwards, Leah goes ahead and says to Rachel, I am a Nazira in your footsteps, Bikvayich in your footsteps. So mahu, what's the halacha? So do we say, Hareini Bikvayich Bekula Milsa Vesharia, Odilma Kimikame Delefer Baila Vasira? So we'll say, see here the Shaila over here? The Shaila is like this. Again, obviously, this question only comes up in a situation where after Rachel made the neder, what happens? Rachel's husband annuls it. So the shaila is like this. Leah said to Rachel, I'm a Nazira in your footsteps. So what does that mean? Does that mean in your footsteps? It's the same shaila as we had before. Does that mean in your footsteps now? That literally, again, the same way that you're a Nazira, I'm a Nazira. Or does it literally mean, no, that whatever happens to your neder, well, what? Will happen to my neder as well. So should your husband decide to go ahead and annul your neder, then what, Rabbi Osai? Then lemaisa again, my neder will become annulled as well. Tashma, ha'isha shenadra b'nazir. So let's try to resolve this. If a woman goes ahead and makes a neder to become a nazir, v'shama b'aylava amar ani, and the husband hears her neder and he says ani. So we'll say in this case, remember, she's the one initiating. She's saying, I'm a nazira. He hears it, he says, me too. So what's the halacha? Eino yachol lahafer. Husband does not have the ability to go ahead and annul that vow. Now the Gemara says, v'isaka daitcha ki amar la harini b'ikvayich b'ikara kamatvis leifar la ledida v'lokim didei. And we'll say, now here's what's interesting. The Gemara makes the assumption over here that when the woman says, I'm a Nazira, and the husband says, Ani, I'm me too, that's the equivalent of what? That's the equivalent of saying, I'm a Nazir in your footsteps. Right? We're making the assumption that those two cases are the same as each other. Now, the fact that when a husband can't, when the wife makes a neder, and she says, I'm a Nazir, and the husband says, Va'ani, me too, he can't go ahead and annul her neder. So the Gemara makes the assumption over here. Why? Because bi'ikara kamat, because I'm sorry, v'isak da'itcha, kemra laharini bi'ikvayich bi'ikara kamatvis, if you would assume that when Leah says to Rachel, I am following in your footsteps, that what that means is for what? The ikar neder, the primary neder, but not what happens afterwards, then leifar la lididei, v'lokim dida. So we'll say, if that's the case, that if we would say that when I follow in your footsteps, it merely means what? That I'm becoming a nazir, just like you're a nazir, but I'm not saying, well, whatever happens to your neder happens to my neder. If that's the case, then the husband should be permitted to annul that neder as well. And as Rabbi said, let me be clear. What the Gemara is trying to figure out, when Rachel says, I'm a Nazir, and Leah says, I follow in your footsteps, there are two possibilities as to what that statement could mean. Either I follow in your footsteps now, in this moment, but I'm not linking my future destiny with you. So even if your neder is annulled, my neder still remains. Or second possibility is that I'm following in your footsteps. Whatever happens to you, happens to me. Those are the two possibilities. The Gemara wants to try to prove that case from our Mishnah. What was the case in the Mishnah? Woman says, I am a Nazira. I'm a Nazira. Husband says, Va'ani, me too. What did the Mishnah paskin? Husband can't annul that neder. So we'll say, why can't the husband annul that neder? Because the assumption is that when the husband says, me too, that what is he saying? Whatever happens to your neder happens to my neder. Therefore, if he annuls her neder, what happens? It annuls his neder. A person can't annul his neder. Logic would therefore dictate that's the same thing as when Leah says, I follow in your footsteps. I follow in your footsteps also means what? Whatever happens to you now and in the future happens to me. To which the Gemara says, Therefore, it must be that when Leah's, because we must say we're equating the two cases of Va'ani to the verbiage of I follow in your footsteps. So therefore, again, the same way when the husband says, me too, Va'ani, he can't annul the nether, because what he's saying to the wife is, whatever happens to your nether happens to my nether. Therefore, he can't annul because it annuls his own nether. So too, when Leah says to Rachel, I'm following in your footsteps, that means what? For whatever happens to your nether happens to my nether as well. Elalav shmamina bekula demilsa matfis hilchach hu delo matzi mefer. I will say, therefore, again, we assume that Lemaisa, when Leah says to Rachel, I'm following in your footsteps, that doesn't just mean now to accept the Nazirus, but it means whatever happens to your Nazirus will happen to my Nazirus. Ve'hilchach hu delo matzi mefer. Therefore, again, I will say, this is also why the husband, when he says Va'ani, doesn't have the power to annul the neder. Ha, on the other hand, ha'isha da'amri hareini be'ikvayich. He nami muteres, and therefore again, Abosai, the same logic would therefore extend that when Leah says to Rachel, "I'm becoming a nazira in your, I'm following in your footsteps." Then what? When Rachel's husband goes ahead and annuls her neder, so we'll say what happens? Leah's neder is annulled as well because she's following in the footsteps, naming she's intertwining her nazira destiny together with Rachel's. To which the Gemara says, "No. Lo di olam bi karamatvis. No, it's not true." In reality, when, let's say again, either when the husband says Va'ani, or for that matter, when Leah says, I'm following your footsteps, all they're doing is linking to the original state of the Nazirus, not to what happens in the future. So if that's the case, why can't the husband annul the wife's neder after he said Va'ani? Because we both say, remember, let's play this out. If a woman says Hareini Nazira, and husband says, me too. So we just now got finished saying that what? When the husband says me too, what is he linking to? What is he linking to? To now. To just right now, not to the future. Well, if that's the case, then what should be the halacha? He should have the ability to annul her nether. Because even if he annuls her nether, he's not what? He's not annulling his. He's not impacting his at all. But yet, what are the Mishnah Paskin? That he can't do that. So I just mentioned this before. So what's the issue over here? The halacha, kevan da amar la va'ani, ki omer kayim lechi dami. I will say, what's the difference over here? The difference over here is, we said this in yesterday's daf, that once he says me too, then me too is the equivalent of what? Of affirming her neder. So you both say, he's not just latching onto her neder, but as a husband, he's actually doing two things. First of all, by saying va'ani, number one, as a husband, he's affirming her neder. And number two, he's latching onto that neder. The fact that he's affirming it, I both say, that's why he can't be mevatel it. Because once a husband affirms the neder, then what? He can't subsequently be mevatel it. Unless, of course, what? Va'ha'cha, kevan da'amar la va'ani, since he's saying me too, ke omer kayim lechi. He's saying what? I'm upholding it for you. And I will say, now therefore, the only way that he could subsequently go ahead and annul it is how? Now he can annul it. How could he annul it? He can go ahead and first annul his affirmation. A lot of annulment going on over here. He's got to annul his affirmation. Then after he annuls his affirmation, then he can go ahead and annul the nether. So we'll say, halacha lemaisa, what comes out from here is the following. The way we pass it, the Rama Paskins, is that whenever you latch on to someone else's nether, you're not intertwining your nether destiny with them, the olam vaed. Rather, you're latching onto what? To the present reality. Therefore, in all of these cases, if let's say Rachel says, I'm a Nazira, and Leah says, me too, right? Or me too, I'm following in your footsteps, I'm just like you, whatever verbiage she uses, what she's latching onto is what? The here and now. I'm a Nazira like you. I will say, so what does that mean? That means that if later on, Rachel's husband, when he hears about this Nazira, says, I don't want you to be a Nazira, and he annuls the Nazira, Rachel's nether is annulled, but what's the status of Leah's nether? Still applies. So too, if a woman makes a nether nezirah, hareini nezirah, and husband says, va'ani, amin also, does the husband have the ability to annul the nether? Technically, yes. But remember again, why? Because remember, he's not intertwining his nether destiny with hers. He's not saying whatever happens to your nether happens to mine. Rather, what he's saying is, I'm latching on to your present state. You're a nazira, therefore I'm a nazira as well. The technical issue is, when he says va'ani, he's also affirming her nether. The reason he can't annul her nether is because he's already affirmed it. Were he to go ahead and get his affirmation annulled, he would be permitted to go ahead afterwards and annul her nether. And even if he were to annul her nether, what would happen to his nether? Absolutely nothing. It remains intact, because the Maisa, we assume that whenever you latch on to a nether that someone else is making, you're only latching onto it for the purposes of affecting that nether for yourself, but you do not mean to link the future of your neder with the future of that person's neder. Fascinating sugya.
He can annul his affirmation, but not his own neder, even though it's the same word.
That is correct. That is correct. Because essentially the chiddush of the Gemara is that va'ani really is accomplishing two things simultaneously. There's an affirmation plus a making of his own neder. So yes, we kind of splice it and he's able to revoke his affirmation while his neder still remains in place. That's the chiddush.
Do you specify the amount of time
when he has to? Yeah, he has the day that he hears it. Day that he hears it. Always remember, he only has the day that he hears it to annul the neder. That's it. Says the Gemara, but it's a little bit weiter. Harini nazir va'at va'amra amen mefer eshelo v'shelo kayim. Supposed to listen to this. Now this is the reverse case. Man says I'm a nazir, and he says to his wife, and you, honey, would you like to be a nazir as well? Right? And she says amen. She says yes, I would. She says amen. Yes. So what happens? Mefer eshelo v'shelo kayim. So we'll say in that case, he has the ability to annul her neder, but his neder is intact, which Rabbi say again, makes sense, because basically everything that we've learned, because again, she's latching on to him. So obviously, again, his ability to annul her neder really has nothing to do with his original neder. So the Gemara says, or minhu, the Gemara raises a kasha, hareini nazir va'at, if a man says, I'm a nazir, and then he asks his wife, and you, va'amra amen, and she says, yes, she says, amen, shnehem asurim. They are both aser. In other words, again, I both say they're both nazirim. Ve'imlav shnehem mutarin. Both say this is very interesting. According to this brisa, if she says no, I'm not interested, then what? The brisa says he's not a nazir either. Why? Mepnei shatala nidro benidra. Both say the way the brisa understands that statement is hareini nazir va'at, which makes much more sense from a Jewish husband perspective, right? I'm a nazir if it's okay with you, right? If you would like to be a nazir, then we can do this together. If not, I'm not going to do it. So what the Gemara understands, we'll say, here's what's interesting. You see, the way we originally read this case was, I'm a nazir, and would you like to be a nazir also? But the truth is, my nazirus is not dependent on whatever you answer to that question. That's up to you, but I'm a nazir regardless. The Brisa understands that statement totally differently. The Brisa understands when a man says, I am a nazir and you, what the husband is saying to his wife is, if you're in, then I'm going to do it also. But if you don't want to do it, then I'm not a nazir either. So we'll say the Rush writes over here, Umashma she'in habal yochal lahavir. The mashmos over here is that lemaisa, again, the husband would not be able to be made for this neder should the wife say that I am in a zira. Va'aliba da mishna nira me yachal lahafir. So also, here's what's interesting. See, this poses a contradiction on two levels. First of all, number one, it poses a contradiction just on the mechanistic level. Because from the Mishnah, what it sounds like is the husband is making a declarative statement, I'm a nazir, but he's asking his wife if she would like to latch on to this neder. But again, his neder remains even if she decides not to latch on. So number one, there's a mechanistic contradiction. Number two, Rabbi said, the Mishnah paskind, that if she does become a nazira as a result of latching on to his neder, he has the ability to annul her vow. From this price, that makes it sound like that's what? That since they are linking their nedarim together, therefore, if she chooses to become a nazira as well, does he have the right to annul her vow? No. Why? Because her neder is linked to his neder is linked to her neder. So if he annuls her neder, then what? He's effectively annulling his own. It's a contradiction. Everyone say, you hear that? Again, one more time. So the fact that the two nedarim are linked together, according to the Braisa, when he says, Hareini nazir va'at, what he's saying is, I'm a nazir if you decide to be a nazira as well. So if she decides I want to be a nazira, that affirms his neder naziris, but what that also says is, he can't annul her neder. Because since they're linked, if he annuls her neder, then what? He annuls his as well. That contradicts the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah said, in a case like this, he can annul her neder. To which the Mishnah says, "I'm Rabbi Yehuda Tani." Rather, read the Mishnah saying, "Mefer eshela v'shelo kayim." The way you have to go ahead and read the Mishnah is how, or it should state, he has the ability to annul hers, but his still stands. Abaye says, "Must say first of all, take a look." Actually, I'm sorry. Abaye says, "Afilu tema kedik tani brisa." The truth is, no. You can even read the brisa as it is. How so? Kigon de ka'amar la hareini nazir va'at de katali nidro binidra. See, Rabosai, the way you could go ahead and read the brisa with the Gemara. Now, Abaye says the brisa has to be looked at in a different case. See, Rabosai, In the Mishnah's case, I'm sorry, actually, let me not read ahead. The Brice says it like this, Harini Nazir, Va'at, Dikatali Nidra B'Nidra. See, Rabosa, in the Brice's case, the way to read it is like this. I am a Nazir with you. With you. So what he's making a declarative statement. I'm a Nazir if what? If what? If you're a Nazir. So what he's saying is, I'm linking my Nazir reality to your Nazir reality. If you decide to become a Nazir, then I'm a Nazir. So we'll say, in that case, it makes a lot more sense. Because in that case, where he's literally explicitly linking his Naziros to her Naziros, so if she becomes a Nazir, then he's a Nazir. Then I understand what? I understand why he can't annul her Naziris in a case like that. Why? Because they're linked together. If he annuls her Naziris, then what? He annuls his. On the other hand, top of Chav Gimel, Umasnis in the case of the Mishnah, is Kegon de Amrla, Hareni Nazir Va'atmai. Bosa, you see how a little punctuation makes all the difference? You see, the Mishnah's case is where he says, I am a Nazir, and would you like to be a Nazir? So Bosa, in that case of the Mishnah, what he's saying over here is, I'm a Nazir regardless of whatever you do or you don't do. In that case, but I'm offering you the opportunity, should you like to do this together, right? Clinical tests have shown that couples that become Nazirim together, right? Baruch Hashem strengthens the marriage. So what happens? So he says, I'm becoming a Nazir. And what happens? He says to her, would you like to also? The Rebbe say, in that case, he's saying, I'm a Nazir, regardless of your response. So should she choose to latch on to his Nadir Naziros, perfect. But they have two separate vows. Because they have two separate vows, he could go ahead and what? He can go ahead and annul her vow. On the other hand, in the Braisa, what is he saying? Hareini Nazir Va'at. I'm going to do this if what? If what? If you do it. So his Nadir Naziros is dependent on her Nadir Naziros. If she says, I'm a Nazira, he's a Nazira also. If she says, I'm not interested, then he's not. Therefore, I will say, if she says, I'm interested, then what? Then what? Then Lamaisa, again, he does not have the ability to annul her vow. Why? Because if he annuls her vow, then what does that de facto do? It annuls his vow, and a person can annul their own vows. Therefore, in the case of the Mishnah, so therefore we understand the two different, in fact, the Mishnah and the Braisa are not contradicting each other. In the Mishnah's case, where he's making a declarative statement, I am a Nazir, and he's posing a question to her, would you like to become a Nazira? So the Mishnah paskins, if she takes him up on the offer and says, yes, I'd like to latch on to your statement, they still have two different Nidre and Naziros. Therefore, should he choose to annul her vow, he has the ability to do that. In the Braisa's case, where he's making a Tanai, where he's saying, I will become a Nazir, Va'at, if you become a Nazir, then literally his neder is dependent on hers. Even if she becomes a Nazira, his Naziros is still linked with hers, and therefore the Braisa paskins that what? Therefore the Braisa paskins, if she does become a Nazira, he does not have the ability to annul her vow. But say, we'll stop over here. Emir Tzashem will pick up with the Mishnah consulted both in the Daf Yomi Shiras in the afternoon on Rosh Hashanah before Mincha. But say, just want to close out. We should be Zocha. It was a beautiful year. I want to thank you. I want to thank each of you for the incredible zechus of allowing me to learn with you each and every morning for the past year, for 57, 75. It's been, I say this belishum gozer without any exaggeration. It's been an incredible zechus and is by far the highlight of my day each and every day. I hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity together in Tavshin Ayin Vav in 57, 76. To learn together as well, to shine together as well, to grow together each and every day. And halavai, this should be a year where the Torah becomes even sweeter for us, Torah becomes even more beautiful for us, and halavai, we should be zocha. It's beautiful to learn in this base madrash, and halavai, we'll be zocha to build a beautiful base, another beautiful base madrash. But of course, the real wish we have that halavai, we should be zocha to wake up at the crack of dawn every single day. We should be, because again, I just want to tell you, we're only going to start waking up earlier. I have big plans, right? We're pushing. We are going to be pushing back the clock because you've already seen how you could deal with less sleep, and you could be functional with less sleep, and you could grow with less sleep. So just get ready. There are big things coming. But Emir HaSashim, we should be zocha to be able to wake up bleary-eyed, right? While we're not sure if it's night or day, not in Baltimore, but halavai, we should be zocha that this should be the year that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see how much we want the Mashiach, how much we want the Geula. This should be the year of redemption, and halavai, we should be zocha Emir HaSashim to wake up bleary-eyed early every single morning, but not make our way to this base medrash, but Emir HaSashem, bizocha, to sit together in the chatzar of the Beis HaMikdash, to be able to have our shir there with all of Klal Yisrael, with the Melech HaMashiach. Halavai, it should be this year. But we say today, Bono Sholom, that if for some reason it's not going to be this year, We're going to still keep learning Nazir. We're going to still keep learning his Torah. And halavai, we're going to remain dedicated to him. We're going to remain connected to him. We're going to remain connected to each other. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally sees fit to bring that day. Halavai, we should be zochet together with our families, with all of Klal Yisrael, for a ksiva v'chasima tova, a beautiful year of bracha, of shefa, of growth in our ruchnios, and growth in our gashmios. And halavai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us kol mishalos libeinu letova.
Amen.
Hey, when I'm out of here, I'm going to do it.